Welcome to the Corlin Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in companies profiled. Now, the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey everyone, welcome in to the weekend edition of the KE Report. Corey Fleck here along with Shad Marquitz. We are your hosts for this weekend show. We are going to discuss the markets a lot in this segment. We're also going to get into a little bit more on the resource sector, but really overall, it seems like we are entering maybe a bit more of a slower period for markets. That being said, boy, oh boy, we have seen some volatility over the last couple weeks on the back of really COVID news and also that Fed meeting. So to kick off this show, we are chatting with Dana Lyons, fund manager based out of Chicago, also founder and editor of the Lyons Share website, which I will post a link to within this weekend show posting on our website. Now, Dana, I always like to start off with the U.S. equity markets with you because you have your internal models that you follow very closely. And you know what? Throughout this year, you've been spot on for these market moves. The last time we chatted a couple weeks ago, about 2 to 3 weeks ago, it was before U.S. Thanksgiving, you had said that your models, for the most part, were lining up in a more bullish sense for the U.S. markets. And then, well, shortly after we chatted, sure enough, we got the whole news on the new COVID variant that threw markets off on that shortened trading day Friday after Thanksgiving. The markets have rebounded quite nicely, but it was, or at least led to, about a week and a half of choppy trading for the markets. Dana, what are your models telling you? Did that quick move down, but then rebound, change anything about your market outlook?
Yeah, thanks, Corey. Didn't really change anything from the intermediate standpoint. Certainly in the short term, it has changed stuff a little bit, which I'll get back to. But as you mentioned, going into Black Friday, from a technical standpoint, the market was certainly set up well for a breakout and a new up leg across most of the averages and sectors. The one fly in the ointment, which I spoke about at the time, was that one of our breadth measures that goes into our risk model that pretty much orients our positioning bullish or bearish had not quite turned positive, and it was because of a downturn in the breadth statistics, some of the breadth readings in the month of November. So that was one major red flag that, you know, we wish we would have heeded 100% because we were, from because of the technical setup, we're gearing up for on the long side for a breakout in a new up leg there. We held off on getting super aggressive because of the our risk model, because of this holdout in the breath and the starting the beginnings of a breakdown in some of the internal measures of the market. And indeed, as invariably happens, our quantitative model was correct and my suspicions were wrong, which is, you know, another one of those valuable investment lessons that they always say price is truth, but I would say price can lie in the near term. You want to listen to some of the breadth measures, the internal measures, I would say are ultimately more truthful at the end of the day. So I would not dismiss those internal measures, even when looking at price measures, and technically everything could be set up. But below the surface, not everything was hunky-dory. And we saw on Black Friday, the rug got pulled out from under investors. And we did take a hit on Friday, but that began one of those, what we call a shock, short-term shock period in the market, where you get that sharp sell-off, you get volatility, and you lead into a initial low. So we did adopt, we were, thanks to our model, we were quick to adopt a lot of hedges last week, looking for that initial spike, initial low, which we got this past Friday, which brought with it some good sentiment readings, some good fear readings, and probably a pretty solid initial low. From there, the typical shock period, you get that initial low, You get a reflexive rebound, which we're in now, before another wave down or a retest or some sort of abbreviated sell-off, which is what we're looking for right now. We have gotten very defensive again in the last couple of days, on guard for another wave down or retest, what have you, before lining up for finally a decent end of the year rally and or rally into the new year, perhaps.
Well, Dana, it sounds like we still could get that Santa Claus rally, but you're waiting for, like you said, another retest. So just speak to investors that maybe see these shock periods as negative, but really you want the sentiment to be cleared. You want that high volatility to show up, and you want some of these indicators to kind of cool off a little bit to make way for a run higher. So could you speak to how it actually, these shock periods actually set up rallies?
Yeah, sure. So I think you have to separate kind of the intermediate term from the short term. So intermediate term, we've seen the deterioration in the internal measures and the breadth measures, which is not a good trend and ultimately might result in, you know, more of a significant downturn. But in the short term, I think sentiment can be your most valuable investment or trading tool when you get these spikes in fear like we saw last Friday. For example, the term structure in the volatility market spiked, put to call ratio spiked to the highest levels since I think the COVID crash. Same thing with trading in inverse ETFs or hedges spiked up. So when you see those spikes in fear, those are very reliable short-term trading tools or trading junctures. So from a longer-term standpoint, we don't want to see this deterioration in the breadth and expansion of new lows continue. But from a short-term perspective, that spike in fear that we saw last Friday, and if we get another retest and another bump up, a little echo bounce in the fear readings, I think that will be enough to put that risk-reward ratio squarely in the hands of the bulls, and should produce, if history is any guide, and typically it is when it comes to sentiment, should put the market on footing for a decent bounce.
So Dana, let's isolate some of the winners and some of the losers in this market, because we're definitely not in that environment where everything is moving higher. That seemed like it was more the beginning of this year, end of the year. Now people are being a bit more selective. Where are you seeing? Let's start with some of the winners, the winning sectors that you like.
Sure, that is one thing that we're seeing, more of a clear delineation between winners and losers, or things setting up to be winners versus losers right now. So you want, in these shock periods, you want to look at things that have held up the best, and certainly in that category at this time would be stuff like technology, the broad technology. There are pockets of weakness certainly in the tech space, like software and internet. But broadly speaking, technology, semiconductors holding up very well. Elsewhere, we're looking at home builders, real estate, REITs holding up very well. Even consumer staples now is consolidating nicely near all-time highs. So all of these sectors, I would think, are gearing up for a breakout and perhaps lead the way to new high in the next part of the rally. So those are a handful of sectors that are certainly set up better. You've got losers, certainly, like the small caps in the broader market that got hit really by the breadth deterioration of late. And if we do get another short-term pullback, those areas are likely to see new lows, maybe in financials, even as some of those winners that I mentioned might just see abbreviated pullbacks to some areas of support and produce a nice entry point.
Well, Dana, one feature that we do each time you come on is we also talk about a few winners and losers just as far as countries that you follow with different ETFs. So are there any countries you're seeing that may present an opportunity for investors, and any that you'd avoid?
Sure. I would say from the opportunity standpoint, some of the countries that we've actually been in for a couple of years now that continue to perform well, I would say Taiwan and Vietnam looking very good. Still, like I mentioned, looking at those winners, you want to see sectors and areas of the market that have held up well, even during short-term turbulence, like those two countries have. Another one that is on our radar right now would be Switzerland for whatever reason. So the ticker for the ETF would be EWL. It's just held up nicely. It's held up well during this turbulence, whereas much of core Europe has gotten hit a little bit worse. Switzerland has been hanging up right near all-time highs, pretty much holding up near those that line in the sand, and should be geared up for a breakout and a new new up leg there into all-time highs. So that's just a handful of countries that are still on our radar. Still, we want to be long, and we want to be buying little short-term pullbacks.
So, Dan, I also have to ask you about the resource sector, especially the precious metals. We didn't discuss this pre-recording, but look, the pressure has continued to be on GDX, GDXJ, those gold miner ETFs. Gold has been relatively flat, but more relatively flat under that $1,800 level. What's your outlook for the precious metals stocks? Are you buying? Are you selling? Are you kind of neutral, just on the sidelines?
We're mostly neutral. They're still in, you know, this consolidation phase. I think the odds are they still eventually break out and put in that next leg up in that major bull market. But still, you know, consolidating the run-up that they had into the summer of last year, I think. So right now, there's plenty of resistance to get through, plenty of, you know, technical challenges ahead. That for us, they're still trading instruments. You know, you can buy the bottom of the range, sell the top of the range, but nothing to get too aggressive about right now. And until we clear some of those technical hurdles, we would still be, like I said, accumulating into weakness at the bottom of the range. And certainly they're not buying holds right now. So you got to take some profits when you get a nice bounce.
All right, before I get you out of here, Dana, there's one topic that keeps on coming up in our interviews for people saying, well, this is what I'm watching for next year. And the answer we keep hearing is all about politics. Everyone says, well, there's the midterms in the U.S. and political tensions are high in this country and that country. I know that you don't invest around politics, but what are your thoughts when you hear people, commentators saying these are the key catalysts, political catalysts to watch for next year?
Yeah, from an investment standpoint, anytime you let politics kind of into your decision making, it's a major, it can be a major red flag or a major obstacle to profit. So we, as you know, we like to stick to a quantitative objective strategy and system that takes all of its input from market data itself. So all the exogenous stuff, political, geopolitical stuff, has no bearing on what we do. I will say, to the extent that any of those events or potential events do have a bearing, do have an impact on the markets, you can rest assured that that will be filtered in through the markets. It will be filtered in have an impact on the market data itself. So you don't have to speculate on what's going to happen and the market's kind of reaction to that. All you have to do is look at the data. Anything that has an impact or has some sort of bearing on what the market's going to do, it's going to be filtered through the data. So that's our advice. Ignore the noise and the headlines. Just concentrate on the data, and that will steer you in the right direction.
All right, Dana, always great chatting with you. Thank you, as always, for taking time throughout this year to share what your models are telling you. Again, you have been, for the most part, spot on throughout this year in pretty much every sector we've talked about. So it's a pleasure having you on the show. Again, I thank you for taking time with us. I hope you have a great holiday season. We'll be chatting again, maybe by the end of this year, but for sure in the new year. Thank you, Dana, for all of the time you spent with us this year.
Thanks a lot. My pleasure, Tori, and happy holidays, Jeff.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.